Thank you for joining us here on KGVM Bozeman for continuing coverage of the 2019 election issues. On October 16, 2019, the Young Professionals Advisory Council and Forward Montana co-hosted a issue and candidate forum in the City Commission Room at City Hall. We hope you find this information useful in your decisions about the upcoming election. KGVM does not endorse any candidate or take a particular position on any ballot issue. We strive to disseminate available information to help voters make informed decisions.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Young Professional Advisory Council in Forward, Montana, candidate forum. Thank you all for coming. I'm Jack Quirk. I'm an intern with Forward, Montana. For those of you that don't know, Forward, Montana is a nonpartisan youth group that seeks to engage, educate, and mobilize young Montanans to help shape our democracy. We turn out thousands of young voters every election, from school boards to the presidency. We meet young people where they are, and we make politics fun and impart serious knowledge about the issues that matter most to young Montanans through forums, voter guides, and thousands of one-on-one conversations every year. Right now in the United States, folks between the ages of 18 and 35 make up 32% of the voting population. That's a bigger voting block than baby boomers nowadays. We wield some serious potential political power, and we just have to use it. Our local elections are critically important, and they're often characterized by low information, they're difficult to navigate, and they can be confusing. And that's why events like these are really important. So a huge thanks to all the candidates for showing up tonight and doing this. And I will now pass the mic to our YPAC member and MC for the night, Hannah Stiff.
Thank you, Jack. My name is Hannah Stiff. I grew up here in Bozeman. This is my hometown. I did grow up here. And it's a pleasure to be with you guys tonight. I am a member of the Young Professional Advisory Council. And it's really an honor to get to stand here. My grandfather was a city commissioner and mayor for many, many years. And while I don't have my own political aspirations, I think that spirit of being civically engaged runs deep in our family. So thank you for letting me have the opportunity to be here. There are certainly many more qualified people who should have a microphone in front of them. So I'm going to apologize if things get a little dicey and you hear maybe an errant swear word here or there. So to start things off, I'm going to read you guys the mission statement for YPAC, for the Young Professionals Advisory Council. Our mission here at the Young Professionals Advisory Council is to engage Bozeman young professionals civically through an issue-driven advisory board, giving young professionals a voice in the conversation, a voice to City of Bozeman elected officials, and a voice to the community of their peers. So that's us. Tonight, we are really lucky. Soon, these chairs will be filled in. Our candidates will be here. You will have the opportunity to ask them questions. I will ask them questions. And hopefully, since we're sharing some time together, we're going to have a little bit of fun as well. Tonight, we're going to start off with the two ballot initiatives that are appearing on the ballot this year. And people far more educated about these issues are going to come up and tell you a little bit more about them. After each issue has been spoken about, I'll give you guys 5 minutes to interact with the person who's telling you about the issue. You'll have 5 minutes for questions. So, first we're going to be talking about the County Law and Justice Center that will appear on your ballot, and I'm going to invite County Commissioner Don Seifert up to speak a little bit more about this. Come on down, Don.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me tonight. This is a subject that I'm passionate about, and I hope to give you some information about that. I cannot advocate for it, but I can educate. So my job here tonight is to educate. How many of you folks have been at the current Law and Justice Center over on Durston and 16th? Perfect. Great. So if you've been in there, you know and you can recognize that it was a Catholic school that was built in the 1960s. I will tell you that it was not built to the Catholic Church did not build that building to the standards of the great cathedrals of Europe. It will not last for 300 years. We're hoping it lasts for 50 years or 60 years. Anyway, that building was built in the 1960s. It was not built to code because there was no building codes for private schools in the 60s. If you've been in there, you can tell. You've probably noticed how steep the stairs are in there. Those stairs are do not meet code, and they were basically, when they built that, they decided that since it was a high school with youth in there, they could use that as physical fitness, running up and down those stairs. It's got seismic issues. The county built that purchased that building from the Catholic Church in 1979. At that time, the population of Gallup County was about 47,000 people for the entire county. It burned in 1992, so they had to go in and do some remodeling. At that time is when the city of Bozeman came in to help share the facilities in that place. When it was paid off in 1999, the population of the county was 63,000 people. Currently, we're 112,000 people, and we're still trying to operate in that building. There are three district courts in there. We know that we're two district court judges down. The state of Montana will not give us two more district courts judges until we have a place to put them. And what basically happens there is because criminal issues move to the top of the list, civil issues move to the bottom. So because there's a right to speedy trial in a criminal case, those cases, the abuse and neglect of children and involuntary commitments, move to the top of the list, then criminal, and then civil at the bottom. Currently, if you file into the 18th District Court, you will have probably an 18 to 24 month wait before your issue is heard. So there is quite a bit. So there's some real issues with handling those numbers in there. And the saying is, justice delayed is justice denied. I talked a bit about the structure of that building. That building does not meet seismic code. There's the thought that if there is a seismic incident, those three floors will pancake down one on top of the other. We have real concerns with that. I think it's important. The city of Bozeman and Gallatin County went out 3 years ago for a bond issue for what I thought at that time was an excellent facility. The voters of Gallatin County did not pass that bond issue. I think the city of Bozeman did the right thing for their issues. They realized they needed a fire building, another fire station, and so they combined what they needed to do down on Rouse. I think for their situation, that was an excellent choice for them. It did, however, leave us with real issues that are not going to go away in that building. But it's important to realize that there's no duplication of services between what the city does down on Rouse or will do down on Rouse and what the county does there. There's municipal courts down there. Those are just for minor criminal infractions, but no civil cases. Also, if there's a felony involved, it goes to JP court. And so it's important that you realize we're not duplicating that. What we're looking for is that this will be a not more than $65 million building. We're asking for not more than $59 million in bonds. So, with that, I will take questions. If there are any questions, I would love to answer anything you might have. No questions? Yes, ma'am.
What's the cost of the facility?
Cost of the facility will be not more than $65 million. If you have a landlord-tenant dispute, it will end up in JP court. You will end up over there. Also in there, one of the issues with problems with the services is the lack of privacy. You will walk in those halls with the defendants, which could be anything from a murder to a speeding ticket. But those folks commingle with the victims, the witnesses, the defendant, the jury, and the general public all in one hallway. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
So I read today that essentially the county is not interested in coordinating with the city on annual or semi-annual meeting basis. And I guess as a resident of both the city and the county, mm-hmm. I wonder why we didn't take the opportunity to coordinate better between the city and the county when we had a chance, and why should I support this issue now?
We did. The city and the county had what I thought, and I believe the city thought, was an excellent facility that utilized, that housed both the city services and the county services. The voters turned that down. So This, like I say, the city reevaluated what they needed to do. They needed a fire hall. They put it to their voters, and it was approved down on Rouse. I think that was the right choice for the city.
What are the services that are actually provided in that building?
Thank you for that. We are not building a jail. We have a jail. Our detention center is a rock star in the state of Montana. This building will house the sheriff's office, will house three or five district courts. It will house two JP courts. It will house the county attorney. It will house victim services. It will house youth parole, the clerk of district court, and lots of ancillary services that provide services to those different operations. Yes, sir.
I don't want to push you too far in advocacy here, but what's your response to voters who are feeling fatigued by tax burdens right now?
Fully understand taxpayer fatigue. The issue is, this is a problem that will not go away. Construction costs are rising at 8% a year. That means if we put it off another 3 years, we're talking about 25% more for the same facility. We're also talking about, this is historic low interest rates. My response is, if not now, when? Because this is a problem that is not going to go away. Any questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have an idea of how this will impact the, like, median or average homeowner?
Yes. For every $200,000 in assessed value, that's not market value, that's not tax value, that's assessed value, it will be $34.10 a year, which will more than likely be the high point, because as the county grows, the taxable value increases, those dollar amounts will go down. Any other questions?
They let you off the hook easy.
Again, thank you very much. I will tell you that the ballots went out today. I saw them going out the door. They will arrive in your mailbox here in the next couple of days. Please vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. The second issue that will appear on the ballot that's coming to your mailbox is about nonpartisan county elections. And to speak more eloquently about that is Emma Bodie from Forward Montana. Emma, come on up.
Thanks, Hannah. I have some notes up here because I'm learning about this issue as well. My name is Emma, as you know. My pronouns are she, hers, and I'm the Bozeman Field Manager for Forward Montana. So we're wondering about this initiative for nonpartisan elections at the county level. And first I want to cover a little bit of logistics about it. So the initiative asks voters if they want 10 county elected officials to be nonpartisan on the ballots. And those positions that would be impacted include county commissioners, the sheriff, the county attorney, the clerk and recorder, the treasurer, the auditor, the clerk of district court, and the superintendent of schools. None of these county positions are actually up for vote on this election in November. Just for clarification, there will be city positions that are up for election, but those are already nonpartisan. So this will affect future elections. So this initiative presents a choice between biases. There are local elections generally have like pretty low information for people who are going out there to vote. The average voter doesn't get as much information as they do for a national race or even a statewide race. And so they're going to leverage whatever information they have available to them. And this includes their biases. So the current partisan system fosters a partisan bias. Whether you lean Republican, Democratic, Independent, Green Party, whatever your shtick is, you'll be a little bit biased towards that. And that gives you some ideas about what that candidate might prefer and what their policies may be. And I would argue they might be accurate. But we need to ask ourselves, is this applicable to the position? And will it or should it impact how those elected officials do their jobs? It might be applicable for city commissioners, but hopefully the treasurer isn't managing money with a partisan agenda, and hopefully the sheriff isn't implementing the law with a partisan agenda. So it seems kind of weird that those elected positions would have a partisan label on them. The current system has the potential to favor partisanship over actual qualifications for the job when voters are making those choices on the ballot. They might just vote for the candidate because they're a Democrat and not consider how well qualified that person is. And we want well-qualified people to fill our elected offices. Partisan elections also have the potential to create divisiveness in decision-making once people are elected, giving opinions and policies a partisan hue where there's really no need. If we decide to move to this nonpartisan system, there's potential for other biases to be introduced. So political research shows that less people vote in nonpartisan elections, which could be a good thing, because you want the more educated people to be making these kind of decisions. But what we find is that highly educated people in our country are usually white, and they usually enjoy a higher economic status. The research finds that when that party queue on the ballot is removed, people who do vote also rely on a wide variety of other cues, and that includes race, ethnicity, familiarity, place, prestige, religion, and even the ballot location. So that familiarity piece means that there's a greater advantage for the incumbents. They already enjoy an advantage, but an even greater one. And also candidates that have a more well-funded campaign and can afford to really lift up their campaign. So by nature of who votes and by how those people decide to vote, nonpartisan elections have the potential to bias towards the opinions of the wealthy and the white rather than the socioeconomic and racial minorities. So in a perfect world, we would all have equal access to all the information about our candidates. But the truth is, we don't, especially in these down-ballot races where there's not a ton of information in circulation. Both methods of conducting the county elections will elicit voter biases. So as you fill out your ballots this November, or maybe tomorrow if you receive it in the mail, consider which bias you think better serves our county, both in who gets elected and how those elected officials carry out their jobs. Thank you.
Questions for Emma?
Yeah.
Where can we find more information about the bias ideas and things like that?
So the research that I talked about today was from the Political Research Quarterly. It's a journal article that was written by Gerald Wright, I believe, in 2008. If you have access to journal articles through MSU, I recommend you go check it out.
What is more common, or what can prompt this?
Oh, just like having this be on the ballot? So there was a decision made at the state level in the last legislative session that allowed this to be a ballot initiative on our local county election. And I don't know what was going through the minds of the people who decided to put this on, but I might presume that people who voted in thought that it may reduce partisanship in elections and that some of these positions really are kind of weirdly partisan. It also has the potential to benefit the minority party in the county. So if you felt like you were part of the minority county and wanted to remove that from the ballot so people weren't biasing you, your candidates away from winning, you might want it. Good question.
Another question.
Do you anticipate there being any sort of like initiatives if this were to be voted in to better inform voters? I know Forward Montana always puts out voter guides. Do you think that would be something like on the docket to create voter guides for some of these like less voted on positions?
Yeah, that's a great question and a really great point. If you remove the nonpartisan, or if you remove the partisan label and then also really work to make sure everybody's educated, maybe you can avoid both biases. That would be super cool. I know that Ford Montana, we do a lot with our voter guides, and we always try and include all elected positions on those guides. Not everybody fills them out or responds to them, and not everybody creates a candidate webpage and like a whole platform for themselves. And so that could be a whole another initiative.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Are there any other counties that are putting us on their ballot besides us?
I don't actually know the answer to that. Is someone from the audience know?
Lewis
yeah?
and Clark County.
Lewis and Clark County?
This
is
going to be on
the
ballot this fall.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if anybody, so the counties surrounding Gallatin County already have nonpartisan county elections, and I'm wondering if anybody has dug into the data of their voter turnout and their elections to see what that shows about turnout in Park County or Madison County. You probably may not know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would love to see funded research for like local Montana politics. That would be so cool. I don't actually know of any currently.
Is there anyone who is against this in the county? So we just heard the four position. Who would argue against this?
Well, I guess I represented some political research that shows that it may not be a good idea. Also, David, I forget his last name, from the political science department?
Parker.
David Parker has come out publicly in opposition to it. He actually has a whole like hour-long Facebook Live. I think that's on the MSU Dems page you could go find.
Mm-hmm. We've got about a minute left. Any other questions?
I'll take in the back and striped shirt.
I'm curious if you have read about any areas that have implemented this to reference in regards to any unintended consequences or benefits that have been seen?
I think those unintended consequences would be the bias towards white and socially more wealthy people. The research shows that when it's enacted and the elections become nonpartisan, local governments become a little bit less responsive to the needs of minorities and of the less prominent people in the community. I don't know about like unintended benefits, maybe that things are less partisan and that people are electing more business professionals into those positions rather than a wide variety of people. I think I'm out of time. But thank you, everyone.
You're off the hot seat.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Emma. I'm going to give you guys a little break here because I want to ensure that everyone has enough time to fill out a question card if they have it. It looks like our bowl is up here, and we are going to resume. I'm going to put the candidates up here in the hot seat, and we're going to get going on those questions in 5 minutes. So let's take a short break, and we'll reconvene in five.
That's it for the segment of this forum on ballot issues. Stay tuned. Coming up next will be the candidates and several questions for them. You're tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio, on the air at 95.9 FM and on the web at kgvm.org.
All right. So we want to know about you guys. We want to get to know you. I'm going to give each candidate 2 minutes to introduce themselves and give us their big goal. And then after 2 minutes of optimism and narcissism, we are going to cut you off. Okay, so we are going to start the 2 minutes on this side with Mark. Mark, you will kick us off, and your timers are right here in the front row. So when they tell you stop, it's the golden rule.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Mark Eggy. I use he and him pronouns. Thank you for being here. I've never seen so many bikes outside of City Hall. I'm heartened by that. Please come back in December when the city is setting their budget. I'm going to give you a 3-sentence biography about myself and then tell you about what we need to do as a city moving forward. So I work as a transportation planner, in which I help agencies like the Nebraska Department of Transportation plan for their future and how they will meet their constituents' future mobility needs in a world with electric vehicles and autonomous vehicles and micromobility. Here at Bozeman, I'm already hard at work for a city that is more affordable and more sustainable as a member of the City Planning Board. and the Parking Commission and involved with GVLT. And finally, I want to tell you that I think of myself as a consensus builder, which is a process of identifying things that we hold in common, identifying areas where perhaps we have differing desires or aspirations, and then facilitating a conversation about how we can move forward. And we need to move forward. If elected, my top priority will be to ensure that those who live here can afford to stay here. My second priority, building a transportation system that works for everyone, whether you walk, or bike, or ride the bus, or drive. And third and finally, to protect the natural environment that makes this place so special, to work against sprawl, and to protect and enhance the quality of our rivers and streams. And we're doing all these things to enhance the livability of our city, but also for the sake of climate action that we need to take. And I'll explain more how those things tie together. I'll mention none of these ideas are my own. They all come from people that are smarter than me, and they're all sourced on my website at eggyforbozeman.com.
Mark, thank you. Are you the gentleman I need to talk to about my recent parking ticket? I'll see you afterwards. All right, Zach, you are up next.
I'm going to actually use the mic, so my voice doesn't always carry as well, if we're all okay with that. So I thank you all so much for being here tonight. I'm a dad, so I'm going to start with a dad joke, if you're ready for that. So there are three men that die and go to heaven, and they're the pearly gates. And Peter asked them if they were faithful to their wives. And the first one says, well, I cheated twice. So Peter hands them the keys to a Toyota Corolla and says, well, that's what you get to drive for it. The second one, too, admits, yeah, I cheated, but just once, and I didn't love her. So Peter says, yeah, not great, and hands him the keys to a Jeep Cherokee. And the third one says, I never cheated. Peter's very impressed, hands him the keys to a Rolls Royce, and they all drive away. Not too much longer, much later, the first two find the third guy pulled over on the side of the road, and he's sobbing in his Royce. And they ask him, what's wrong? Why are you crying? What do you have to cry about? What color we're driving? And he says, no, you don't understand. I just saw my wife roll by on a skateboard. So here's the deal. Often, I'm afraid that we focus too much on our successes, and we don't see the broken relationships in front of us until they're skating by. And I've met so many amazing creative people these last few months on the campaign in Bozeman and since I've been here. And I'm afraid that a lot of them don't have the chance to participate in our community the way that they should and the way that we need them. And I look at the top issues kind of on the slate tonight. We're in the middle of a mass extinction event that's been happening for 50 years caused by climate change. Our business as usual housing market is driving so many people into poverty or away from Bozeman. And white supremacy continues to plague our community and our state. So I think it's going to take all of us together to even begin to address these challenges. And I want us to all have a voice in that together. So my top priority, I'm making it my mission to make sure that we unlock the full potential of our city now and for decades to come. And I say that because we're really going to need it. Thanks.
Thank you. Michael, you're up next.
My name is Michael Wallner. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. As you know, I'm running for Bozeman City Commission. I grew up on a ranch in northern Minnesota. I had four older sisters. My parents were small business owners, and I moved to Bozeman 13 years ago for my education at Montana State University. I was also a student-athlete, and of course, just like many people here, I absolutely love the outdoors, so I stuck around Bozeman. Everybody asks me why I'm running for Bozeman City Commission. Well, it's not the pay, I'll tell you that much. It's about my passion for the community and listening to citizens within the city of Bozeman about their future aspects that really matter to them as individuals, as well as what we can do together as a community. My team and I have knocked on the doors of over 20,000 citizens in the last 2.5 months, and we have listened, we have learned. But most importantly, we've understood where people in this community are struggling and how our local government can make a difference in their lives. On a personal note, I've volunteered in about a dozen community service positions. I've worked for government agencies at the local, state, and federal level. My master's and PhD are in public policy and administration. I've served in several senior leadership roles throughout my career, and I've been fortunate to serve in several mentor-protege relationships with senior leadership officials here in the Bozeman community, the state of Montana, city of Boise, and of course the state of Idaho. And I've learned a lot from people that have 30 years of experience that I don't. My wife was born and raised here, Erica Shanae. She's going to be principal of the new Bozeman High School. We care very much about getting millennials and young people involved in government. And tonight, I look very much forward to listening and learning from all of you and the great questions that you have for all the candidates up here. Thank you very much for your time.
Michael, thank you. Cindy?
Hi, good evening. I'm Cindy Andrus. And I recognize and know many of you, and it's really nice to see some new faces. I'm the current mayor of Bozeman, and the question that I imagine you're asking yourself right now is, why should we reelect you? And I think that I should be reelected because I have proven results, and I also have shown a leadership that I believe the city needs. I'll just give you a few examples of what my leadership has achieved, and one of the most important ones, at least in my mind, is that we will have a new public safety center here very soon. And I led the discussion on addressing our needs. We actually move forward on that when the county wasn't quite ready. I led the effort to educate the voters, and the voters agreed, and now we will have a new public safety center very soon. We have a new city manager, and I was part of a team to bring Andrea on to the Bozeman City, and we have done some significant changes in the culture of our organization, and especially moving forward our strategic plan, which we never had before and now have one. I have built great relationships with most of our partners, including the school board and the hospital and MSU. And we have some work to do around the county, but I'm not giving up on that as well. And we have a thriving economy. And I also believe that I've been part of the team that helped with some bond efforts. And now we have Story Mill Park. We have a beautiful soccer park. I've spent a lot of time working on climate, affordable housing, and diversity and equity inclusion, and I will be happy to talk more about that. So I'm hoping that I have your support for re-election. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Andrus. And Brian, please finish us out here.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thank you all for coming out. I'm Brian Lemires. I'm running for mayor against Cindy. It's absolutely nothing personal. I like Cindy a lot. I was born and raised in Billings. I've lived in Montana all my life. I've been in Bozeman for over 33 years. I came here to go attend college at MSU, graduated from MSU, passed the CPA exam, had to find a job that would satisfy the experience requirement to get my CPA license. It was kind of hard to find a job like that back then. But I really wanted to stay in Bozeman. For 4 years, I worked in the service industry, lived in a trailer. Finally found a job at the old city hall across the street here in the finance department, and here I am 23 and a half years later. So while I have no experience working on the commission, I have worked for you for 23 and a half years, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. Okay, so and along the way while working at the city, I did earn my MBA. I've taught some classes at MSU. Could you do that one more time? Oh, thank you. And I've served as chair of the city's Affordable Housing Board for over 17 years. This is a nonpartisan election, but out on the campaign trail, they do ask you, are you liberal or conservative? Are you Republican or Democrat? I voted both for both parties over the past decade, so I'd call myself an independent. So I'm not going to be accountable to any or held to any ideology, and in fact, I'm not going to be held to anybody at all because I'm 100% self-funded. And so I'm going to only answer to you. So, and like I said, I have never served on the commission before, but in some areas of life, if you think about it, that can be a good thing, right? I mean, you think of term limits, maybe a fresh view from the outside is a good thing. I did run for mayor before. The reason I'm running now is because I have been disappointed by a few things that have happened, and I hope to rectify. Thank you.
Thank you for the introduction, candidates.
We are going to transition, as we worked on some technology pieces, to something fun. We are going to get to know the candidates a little bit better in a fun rapid-fire response game. So, candidates, do you all have your whiteboard and a writing instrument? Okay, so we're going to give them 15 seconds to quickly answer, and they shouldn't even take that long. We are going to do your favorite, and then we're going to do an either-or series of questions. Does everyone feel ready? You're poised and ready. All right. Candidate, what is your favorite TV show? Go. All right. Everyone know your favorite TV show? I hope so. All right. Oh, Brian, are you still ready?
I was going to change it, but I'm going to go with it.
All right. Well, then let's start with you, Brian. What do you have? Favorite TV show?
I have Family Guy.
Okay. We got
American Dad almost made it, but I like to really escape reality when I'm watching.
Fair enough. Cindy?
I don't watch a lot of TV, but I love the Americans.
Mm-hmm. Some people have seen it. Maybe three, maybe four. All right, Michael. Favorite television show?
I love The Office.
Yes.
Dry humor.
Okay, came strong with the dad joke. What is your favorite, Zach, television show?
I don't know if this is just a resemblance or a guilty pleasure thing or what, but I mean, Breaking Bad is...
Very good. And Mark, favorite television show?
Deadwood.
Any Deadwood fans? Okay. Please clear your whiteboard. Get ready for your next favorite. You guys should be able to answer this next one even quicker. Everybody erased? Ready to go? Pens poised? What is your favorite activity to do outside? Ready, go. All right.
Pens down.
Let's start on the other side. Mark, favorite
ski
outdoor?
Ski time.
Ski with a lot of eyes. That's very enthusiastic skiing. Zach, favorite outdoor activity?
When I get a chance, hiking, of course.
Okay, hiking, very good. And Michael?
I promise we didn't copy each other.
We did.
Hiking.
No cheating up there.
No cheating.
Look at your own boy. Cindy?
Camping in my 1982 Volkswagen Vanion.
Oh. Okay. Ryan?
Run.
You'll have to tell me more about that later as well. All right, candidate.
Not from anything.
Just outdoor jogging. Okay.
On trails. Could be hiking, I guess.
Trails, hiking. All right, please clear your board, candidate. We've got one more of your favorite, and then we're doing either or. All right, candidate, what is your favorite music venue in town? Go. All right. Markers down. Brian, are you ready?
I am.
Okay.
I had Sweet Pea, but then I forgot about Slam.
Yay. Okay, Slam Band. Cindy.
Alive in the Divide.
Oh, Life in the Divide. Yeah. Love it. Michael, favorite music venue?
The Rialto Theater in historic downtown Bozeman.
All right. Zach.
Does a shower count?
Mark?
I imagine we'll see some of you later at the Rialto for Lucy Dacus, but for me, the filler.
Oh, good filler. All right, it is time for either or. This is going to tell us a lot about you. These are the psychological questions here. Please erase your board. Y'all a moment. All right, either or. Plonk or the Hofbrau, the Hoffis. And go. All right. We're ready for you. Let's hear it. Plonk or the Hoff? Okay, Plonk. Zach?
Yeah, the Hoff, any day.
The Hoff.
Michael? Hoff as well.
The Hoff is, very good. Cindy?
Neither. I prefer my neighborhood bar, Feast.
Feast, okay, neither.
That's a little during the rules.
Brian?
The Hoff since 1985.
All right. Okay. Very good. Boards, erase, please. All right, you're next, either or. Town and Country, TNC,
or the co-op? Go. Okay.
Time.
Let's go. I'm just going to popcorn around. Michael.
Co-op.
The co-op. Mark.
For groceries, TNC.
Yep. Brian.
Co-op. Lunch every day.
Lunch every day. Cindy.
Co-op.
Co-op. Zach, what you got?
Yeah, I'm TNC guy.
TNC guy. All right. This is the last of our fun either or. Then we get into the serious stuff. All right, here's a big one. Glacier or Yellowstone? Go. All right, super volcano or super pretty? Let's start. Brian.
Super volcano.
All right. Yellowstone. Cindy.
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Michael.
Yellowstone.
Oh, boy. Zach.
Yeah, it can't be tourists watching in Yellowstone.
That's a national pastime. Mark.
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. All right. How's everybody doing out here?
Woo.
Good? Okay. We are going to get into our more serious questions that some of our young professionals on the council helped put together. So these were thoughtfully written out. I'm going to read the questions to the candidates. They are going to have 2 minutes, candidates, to respond. But this isn't a democratic race. You don't get to jump all over each other's answers or rebuttal. So please stick to your 2 minutes, and then we're going to go around the horn and go to the next candidate. Any questions from the audience? Okay, I'll take your bowl questions later. Any questions from the candidates before we get going? All right. So we are going to start on this side for these questions. Brian, I'll start with you. We'll end with Mark, and then after the first question, Mark, you'll hit it again, and we will go around this direction. All right. Our first long-form question is about climate and the environment. Approximately half of Montana's electricity supply comes from coal, a fossil fuel known to produce acid rain, particulate matter, smog, carbon dioxide, and mercury. As a commissioner, please describe 3 measures you would take to transition Bozeman away from fossil fuels without leaving behind workers who have made their living in the fossil fuel industry. Brian?
Okay. My 3 measures would be to, 1, have a community conversation, 2, consider adding what's called just transition, a just transition component to the city's climate action plan, and then 3rd, to work on our community partnerships. So 1, with the community-wide conversation, the topic of climate change is still somewhat divisive, obviously at the national level, and I found on the campaign trail, so at the local level as well. So then I believe that successful implementation of this strategy would include getting everybody on board, including the non-believers, right? And so we do this by putting politics aside and instead appealing to our shared values as a community, similar to what our Governor Steve Bullock means when he says, we need to build on the shared Montana values of clean air, clean water, how the next generation can do better than the last, and importantly, about opportunities, because it's hard to care about the end of the world when you can't make it to the end of the month. So 2, consider adding what they call a just transition component to the city's climate action plan. So just transition meaning a transition to clean energy that's fair and just to everybody involved. And the climate action plan is being currently updated. Maybe we slap something, a just transition clause in there. And basically at the state or local level, this means early retirements to older fossil fuel workers. And then for the younger workers, retraining and job education. And if you're like me, you're wondering how the heck do we fund all that? We could fund that through the coal severance tax, which the last I heard is quite flush. And lastly, we need to work on our community partnerships. And as mayor, I would partner with other large consumers like MSU, the school district, the hospital, Gallup County, and others to form a coalition to persuade and support Northwestern Energy as it continues in its transition from coal to hydroelectric and solar in the production of the energy that's used by us as Bozeman residents. And I have never come in under time before in my life.
We've been through that. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Cindy, same question?
Thank you. I think it's important to think about this question and understand that the mayor or the city commission does not have the power to choose where our electrons come from. And that power lies with the Montana legislature. There are 32 power companies in the state, but there's no statewide leadership on this issue. And the things that have the biggest impact in this regard, with regard to fossil fuel, are the things that I, as the mayor of Bozeman, have the least control over. But what I can do is commit to addressing climate change by supporting a climate action plan that identifies bold targets for climate reduction and climate change mitigation. I can lead and encourage community conversations about setting bold goals that make significant impacts by 2030. I will commit to engaging other leaders in our community and state and region in this conversation, and I will share and collaborate with other communities about best practices. I'm very sensitive to the fact that when we make a transition like this, we affect the livelihoods of thousands of residents in our state. But there will be additional jobs created in our community when we transition, and it's, you know, I don't know that you can have it both ways. We have to make a choice. And I do want to say, too, that I think we have a new partner in Northwestern Energy, and we are moving forward with them on some very interesting ideas about sustainability and how we achieve our sustainability goals. And that includes a meeting that we have had a couple of weeks ago in Park City, and it also includes a meeting that we will be having in December that includes Missoula, Helena, Northwestern Energy, and Bozeman in sitting down at the table and figuring out ways that we achieve our sustainable goals. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Michael, same question. Let me know if you need me to repeat it.
Okay, thank you. There's no question that climate change threatens our quality of life, whether that be fishing, hunting, trail running, whatever it is that you love to do in the Bozeman and Gallatin Valley. We need to be a leader in the Northern Rockies when it comes to climate change, and at the current time, we are not. To specifically answer the question, I think one thing that's incredibly important is the Trade Adjustment Assistance Program through the Department of Labor. They essentially specialize in helping people that were working in the fossil fuel industry become more familiar and educated as they adjust and want to work in the renewable energy industry. Some specific policy proposals I have. One, all new government buildings in Bozeman need to run on renewable energy by 2025. There's no excuse and no exceptions. Two, I would love if the state of Montana were to give us the authority so that we can have all new subdivisions run on renewable and clean energy by 2035. And three, I think all public transportation, as well as government vehicles, need to also run on clean or renewable energy or electricity by 2035. The other night, knocking on the door, I met a gentleman named John. He's a fly fishing guy. I asked him what the most important issue was to him. He said, it's climate change. He said, tell me more about how that's impacting you at the local level. He's a fly fishing guy. He owns his own business. And he said that when temperatures on the Yellowstone rose a couple of years and they shut it down, he almost lost his home and he almost lost his business. And he said, Michael, if that's happening right now, what's going to happen in 20 or 30 years? There is no reason that Bozeman cannot be a leader on climate change. And there's many different things we can do at the local level to help make a difference. Thank you.
Michael, thank you. Zach, you're up.
So, climate change is not only the imminent crisis of our time, but I think it's something we should all be, I don't know about you, but I'm low-level panicking about it all the time. And I think that's appropriate. It's time we come to terms with the fact that even many of the more prominent climate scientists now are saying that societal collapse is not a zero probability. So this is big, scary stuff. So I would do a few things. One is that one of the challenges, of course, is renewable energy. We cannot fully mandate that, but the only way to make it happen is to do projects on the ground right now. The only way to do a best transition is to do a combination of storage and microgrids and renewable generation so that we can reduce demand and increase supply and try to balance that out over time. And the only way to really make that happen is to do real-world projects in real-world conditions that we can simulate. And I want the city to partner with MSU and be a leader in creating pilot projects as proof of concept so that we have something to actually show Northwestern to push on them. The next one would be a really robust citywide transit system. So we're talking about a rapid transit bus system that would stop every 15 minutes and be designed for the elderly, for those with children, for the winter, for those who are less able, because that's actually a net win for them over cars usually. And the third thing would be using the position as leadership to try to encourage and support regenerative agriculture and local food wherever we can, because that is our greatest hope nationally and globally for dealing with climate change. And I'm seriously worried about our food security in Bozeman. It's not
a small chance that global food supplies will be disrupted in the coming decades. And we need to be able to grow and eat our own food and support the farmers and ranchers locally and pay them better and provide more job opportunities for young folks who want to get into that by cutting distribution costs. So all of those things together, I think, would absolutely make us the leader in the entire West and possibly nationally on this effort. And it's things we can get started on right away.
Zach, thank you. Same question, Mark.
Thanks, Hannah. Climate change is a numbers game. When we get to zero, we win. So here's the numbers in Bozeman. The vast majority of our greenhouse gas emissions come from our buildings and our vehicle transportation. About half of our total greenhouse gas emissions come from buildings, and another 35% come from transportation. So let's break that down. Buildings. First, as a city, we should incentivize all electric buildings so that as our grid, as our electricity generation moves towards renewable sources, we also get the same benefit in how we heat and operate our buildings. Then we need to work with Northwestern Energy as our partner to move their generation portfolio faster towards 100% renewable energy. Missoula has adopted a goal of going 100% renewable energy by 2035 or by 2030 with Northwestern Energy. We should do the same here. But transportation is another significant contributor to our greenhouse gas emissions. In fact, coal-powered electricity is no longer the number one source of greenhouse gas emissions in America. It's transportation. And in Bozeman, since 2011, our action plan, we've made progress in every sector except for transportation, where it's getting worse. So what we need to do is we need to transform our transportation system. We've built walkable neighborhoods, especially on the west end of town. Now we need to build someplace that people, we need to allow places for people to be able to walk to. Shops, marketplaces, office space. We need to build safe places for people to ride a bike if that's how they wish to be able to get around town. Safe places. And finally, we need to fund our transportation system. We have a $15 million transportation budget and spend $150,000 a year on Streamline. We can do better than that. Because it's essential that we transform our transportation system if we're going to meet our climate goals.
Mark and candidates, thank you. All right, your second long format question, and Mark, you don't get a long time here to recover, is about our hot button issue, affordable housing. The question, competition for housing and increased property taxes are driving up the cost of rent. Recent reports show that an average of 10 people a day move to Bozeman. What actionable items do you hope to accomplish in your first year to prevent the displacement of an economically diverse population, especially those who are tenants, by an influx of resort town residents? Mark.
I'd like to dispel the notion that our rents are going up here because 10 people are moving here a day. 20 years ago, Meridian, Idaho, and Bozeman both were 30,000 people. Today, Meridian is 99,000 people to Bozeman's 48,000. And yet, in Meridian, you can buy an average price house for $110,000 less than the average price here. It's not that too many people are coming to Bozeman, it's that we're not building enough. And we're not building enough because as a city, we've made it hard to build anything, and we've skewed the rules in favor of building expensive, freestanding, single-family homes. For example, it's designed in our planning department to take a minimum of 8 weeks to get a permit to build anything in the city. In Meridian, Idaho, it's designed to take 3 weeks. In Belgrade, it takes 3 to 5 business days. I spoke to a home builder recently who told me that it takes him 30 weeks to build in Bozeman, the same duplex unit that he builds in Belgrade in 21 weeks, and the only difference is red tape. We need to operate our planning department like a business, not a bureaucracy, so we're not creating bureaucratic hurdles to creating new housing. The second problem is where you can build. A healthy way for us to grow as a community is one in which no neighborhood is exempt from change, and so no neighborhood experiences rapid change. We've essentially exempted 50% of residential land from change, forcing the other 50% here in Bozeman to absorb 100% of our growth. We have zoned in such a way that excludes duplexes and triplexes and condos and row houses from over half of our residential land. And in doing so, we've also zoned to exclude the people who would live in more affordable types of houses from those neighborhoods, from those good schools, because they can't afford a single family house. This directly limits our ability to create new housing, which is why cities like Minneapolis and the entire state of Oregon have recently ended the practice of exclusionary zoning. This practice is alive and well today in Bozeman, and it's time for it to go.
Mark, thank you. Zach, same question.
Thanks. I agree with Mark that we need more housing, but
I disagree that both the new people and Wolf is causing the problem, and that building more is necessarily going to fix it, and I'll tell you why. We would have to build 5,000 houses yesterday and 1,000 a year just to begin to push down the price of housing, to begin to make it affordable in this town, and even more to begin to take care of folks in the lower end. The reason housing is expensive is because it's almost always in crisis in America, because you can't have a housing system that values investment returns and not shelter first. And that's fundamentally the problem. So the only way to fix that, unfortunately, is through local government intervention that makes sure that's not the case. So I would see us do a Housing First program where we actually give homes to the homeless so they don't have to navigate the complex social system that they do now, or deal with the warming center closing in the middle of a storm in March or April. I would see us have us do real community public housing, real quality housing that the city can provide that stays permanently affordable, doesn't punish you if you actually make more money. And I would see us start a public bank that might also involve a program where we could refinance mortgages at 1% or 2% and save people hundreds of dollars a year, or hundreds of dollars a month, excuse me, every month in their pocket now that they could use to take care of childcare or save for college. And I would see us limit lot sizes and tax vacant and seasonal vacation homes because they're putting pressure that doesn't need to be there, and prioritizing people who don't live and work here. Taken together, I'm confident that we can tackle the housing crisis, but we need to look outside of the norm, and we need to look to other places around the country and around the world, as I've been doing for the last 2 years, to find solutions that work, and they exist, and we know what works. Inclusionary zoning doesn't work. We know that empirically. ADUs pretty much don't work. We also know that empirically. So these kinds of things aren't going to help us, but I think we can do better.
Zach, thank you. Michael.
Thank you. There's no doubt that we have a serious affordable housing problem in Bozeman. I think it's going to take a combination of incentives, funding, regulatory relief, and of course, community partnerships for us to be successful. The perfect example is the old bus barn. So right now, the school district is in discussions with the city of Bozeman about giving up that land. The city would cover the taxes. Perhaps someone like Billings Clinic, a private sector partner, could come in and help with some of the costs of the land or for building affordable homes there. In addition, we need new high-density housing units, especially for many of the millennials in this room. We need starter homes that are more affordable. We need to continue working with partners in the community on down payment assistance programs for first-time home buyers. Montana State University needs to step up. They're bringing in a record number of students. That's great, but they're also creating a supply and demand issue, which is leading to more affordable housing problems. We need to continue to support HRDC. They do a wonderful job for affordable housing here in Bozeman. We need to look at upzoning, just like Minneapolis and Seattle have done. So they've taken existing homes that were R1 and would maybe allow four people living there and change those to R2 or R3 overnight. You can put more people in those units without having a negative impact on the environment by creating new structures. Lastly, we need property tax relief. I've heard this on the doors. I thought growth would be the number one issue. It's not. It's property tax relief. I wrote a report comparing our tax revenues and structures to 12 other cities throughout the West. I'm presenting that report to the Montana Legislature, the Taxation Committee, and Jim Hamilton in November. I hope that will help lower property taxes here in Bozeman. Lastly, you know, I knocked on the door the other night of a couple individuals, Jen and Steve. They make less than $100,000 a year. They have two little kids. Their rent's $1,700 a month, and they can't make ends meet. We need to change that for families in Bozeman. Thank you.
Michael, thank you. Cindy?
Thank you. I think it's important to think about this question as it relates to the country, because this is not just a Bozeman problem. This is a problem that we're seeing all across the United States, and I know this because I've worked with other mayors who are considering and trying to figure out how to solve this problem as well. And I think the assumption that that property taxes are driving up rent is just not correct. What I think is driving up the cost of rent and housing is rampant real estate speculation driven by tax policy, economic policy, and banking policy at some of the highest levels in this country. But there are things that we can do about it, and I believe that some of the things that I would look at as I look at our action plan, we did a needs assessment, as you may all know, a housing needs assessment. From that needs assessment, we are now looking at what actions we can take to find solutions to affordable housing. And I think that
As you also may know, we added two mills, or about $250,000, to our affordable housing fund. So looking at how we establish criteria to inform the use of that money, we need to revisit our affordable housing ordinance and look at that inclusionary zoning and figure out what's worked and what hasn't worked. We need to relook at some of our regulations, and we need to encourage projects in the low-income housing tax credit, or the LIHTC projects, because we've seen great results from those projects, especially when it comes to rent.
Cindy, thank you.
Okay.
This question touches on two central themes of my campaign, that being property taxes and then keeping the cost of living affordable for people who are already here. I didn't get a chance to squeeze this in, but I would define success as a mayor for me if not one single person, not one single household, not one single family had to leave Bozeman because they could no longer afford it. And like I've said, that the people who live here now will be my priority over the people who haven't moved here yet. So regarding the property taxes, almost everything that I see can somehow be boiled down to money. And when I look at the breakdown of communications that resulted in the city and the county going their separate ways on the Law and Justice Center, and I know that there were some good reasons, but overall, I guess I was disappointed, and I heard a lot of disappointment on the campaign trail. A lot of people feel like they're paying for two Law and Justice Centers. And there is some overlap in administration. I think that's undeniable. And we just need to do a better job of not letting things like that happen, because the overall result is an increased cost of living driven by increased property taxes to support that kind of stuff. And then if my ears didn't fool me, on Monday night, I think I heard that the developers of the Cannery District were actually looking at the same site where we're putting our safety center. They were looking at that site for some pretty large affordable housing right there. And now, of course, they can't do it because the Bozeman Public Safety Center is there, which is a fine project, but it's just kind of tragic when this communication breakdown is even more tragic than it might first seem. So I better hurry along here. I would support some sort of a tax abatement or some sort of a California Proposition 13, kind of a property tax freeze for landlords, as long as they didn't increase the rent. I agree with Michael on the property taxes, you know, local option sales tax, maybe with an exemption card for, you know, you show your card. We put the tax on everything, all goods, and then you show your card as a local and you don't pay anything. I cheated and looked at the affordable housing draft, and there's a no net loss replacement policy in there where it would be required.
I'm supposed to cut you off now.
Okay.
Brian, thank you. That's a lot. We have one more long format, but I want to check in with you guys. Everyone doing okay out there in the audience?